Well, we asked for it, Jonathan.
Sure did.
And it didn't disappoint.
No. It was... like... yeah.
Literally, like, 80% of the time, you had that, like, Clint Eastwood looking at the sun across the meadow look in your eyes. What was that for?
I just... I don't know, like,
part of it was trying to... Was it the whale like... private parts comment that you made?
I'm just trying to follow. Like, right. it took a lot of energy, honestly. I was really trying to follow the conversation, and just like... And then, not only that, it's like a game of hopscotch with talking to him, because it's like, alright, like, trying to figure out when to jump in or not. Plus, you got the delay of Zoom, right. So it's like,
exactly.
It's like timing it. Oh, man. That was work.
This is our recap of the John McAfee interview.
You're listening to The Common Sense Show. If you've just started a new business, or if you're just thinking about it, this podcast is for you. Micah Logan and Jonathan Neves have over 20 years of combined experience as successful entrepreneurs. The advice on this show is what they've used to build their businesses from single-member organizations to over multi-millions in revenue and multi-unit operations. Here are your hosts, Micah Logan and Jonathan Neves.
Welcome to episode 39 of The Common Sense Show. I'm Micah.
And I'm Jonathan.
And we're just two common guys with business sense. All right, man. So, dude, you looked... I'm thinking about how, when we did the interview, like, you were, like, exhausted afterwards. Like, I think you like, had to, like, curl up into a nap, take a nap after. And you didn't even do the drugs that he did.
Maybe that's why.
Imagine living this dude's life.
That's why he has so much energy. He's just, like, he doesn't stop. Man.
What do you think he was drinking in that jar?
I don't know. It looked like a whiskey-ish type of drink.
Yeah? Like in a mason jar, though?
Maybe that's the problem. I didn't have any... I should have been drinking with them.
I kind of feel like we should have been, like, sipping on some kind of...
Yeah.
Something from an oak cask.
He did say we could do a follow-up, so...
Yeah. Maybe, that's going to be awesome.
Maybe the next time...
We'll get his wife on?
We'll be all set with the studio. We'll have our drinks. Scotch.
I know. Yeah, no, I'm definitely looking forward to... kind of checking back in with Janice and...
For now, I gotta...
Do we call him... John now? Are we on, like... Is that Mr. McAfee? Are we on first name basis?
Is that where we're at in our relationship?
Exactly.
That's what I did with her. She came on. I'm like, Janice! Like if I'd like known her for... She's like, this dude.
But nah, but when we just like, you know, we know black... Like, I think she got into the fact that we're like, yeah, like... Yeah. You know... we know how black women... like we're just like, yeah, he was talking about his wife, and obviously his wife is black, and we're just like, yeah, our wives are black too. And she was like, oh, it's like nice to hear from someone with a black wife, kind of, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
When you've been in isolation moving around the world all like
I saw you use that card pretty quickly.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Gotta endear yourself to your audience,
yeah,
man.
Like, yeah, my wife got a loud mouth too.
Build trust to the people. I didn't say that.
Thank God she don't listen to the show anymore. Our great supporting wives, they are.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I think they listened to episode one, half of episode one.
Oh, I love the show.
How dark was the room that he was wearing sunglasses in? Is that
yeah, my seriously. Second question? I feel like it was so dark that he had to like get close to the screen just to hear when we were saying stuff.
But yet the sunglasses are on. It's true.
It's like when you're trying to like focus on the road, so you turn the volume down,
right,
play the radio to like pay attention. Like, wait a minute, I gotta.
So, you know, the funny thing is that there, if you really listen to what he was saying, there are lessons in what he was saying, even though they're wrapped up in purple drug haze and, you know, bad internet connection. Like, I feel like, like when he was talking about, when I asked him about the entrepreneur question.
Yeah.
Right. And like, you know, like, how did you start, blah, 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 as an entrepreneur? What was it like? And he was just like, he opened up the computer and... He described it in some like mellifluous, you know, crazy way.
Mellifluous?
Yeah, it was kind of. It wasn't mellifluous. It wasn't sweet sounding, like honey. It was more like scraping nails across the chalkboard way. But when he was describing what it was like to be an entrepreneur, believe it or not, I actually kind of understood that part. Because he was just like, he opened the computer and he saw it differently.
Mm.
It was like a living organism to him, as opposed to something that other people saw.
I think that's the beauty about real entrepreneurship.
Right.
You know, and we kind of touched on this during the show too, where, you know, you started to try to get a thought out about, right. You know, seeing a hole and filling it, you know, figuratively.
In the marketplace?
Yeah, in the marketplace.
Before he contradicted me contradicted himself in like 30 seconds.
Yeah, and came up with the same story.
Yeah. He's like, you don't want to find a hole in the marketplace. You want to find a hole in the ground and then dig it.
I do feel his point, though. And
what do you think he was trying to say?
I think it was a very circular way of basically saying it. But what he was trying to say is, instead of trying to focus on the marketplace, focus on your life. Mm. Because as you focus on your life, you're probably naturally going to find something that doesn't help you to have as happy of a life, or as happy, or, you know, somewhere. You're going to find a hole in your personal lives where you're trying to look and be like, hey, I want to be a better father. I want to be a better husband, a better wife, a better whatever, and to enjoy this. And then as you do that, for instance, I guess in his case, it's like, hey, I'm trying to get online and do something. Oh, wait a minute. I can't do that. Boom. There's a whole, you know, because it's a virus, let me build an antivirus company and software. So,
yeah. And he said something I thought was interesting when he was talking about like how he was gone through the process of trying to, like when he developed the antivirus, it was because he saw something that other people didn't see, which was the fact that, what a virus ultimately could do to a computer if it was unchecked, you know, which is funny because it kind of goes to what his present day state of mind is. Governments unchecked, crypto unchecked, currency unchecked, take the power back as a people. And he didn't want money for the antivirus at the beginning.
Many of his, if you follow John McAfee, many of his business ventures, even to this day, all center around one word: paranoia. Literally, that's what McAfee antivirus is. It's paranoia.
Right.
It's paranoia prevention. I don't want a virus. I'm scared that's going to happen. Even to cryptocurrency. He's not bullish on cryptocurrency being this form of like digital gold. You don't hear him talk about that stuff per se. He's talking about it in the sense that the government can't control the currency, and so it gives power back to the people.
Right.
So everything just continues to revolve around this, you know, I don't know what that is, whether it's, you know, a life of experience or drugs or a combination. Well,
just think of it this way. Like, even the fact that he sold the company when he did, so they estimate that he made about $100 million. But if he had held on for a few more years, he would have made over $7 billion. That's how much they made when they sold the company.
Wow.
Like, years later. So he would have had like 10, 20 times the amount that he actually sold the company for. He sold out like too early, you know?
Yeah.
That was crazy. I read that when I was kind of reading up on some of his story before we started the interview.
That's wild.
He was probably the hardest interview to prepare for we've ever done.
$100 million is nothing to sneeze at, though.
No, I'm not saying that, but you know what I mean. Like,
yeah.
I mean that in terms of like, that goes to his paranoia. Do something, get out really quickly.
I feel you.
And then, you know, but that paranoia cost him like hundreds of more millions of dollars. Not that $100 million is not chump change. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He could have had $1 billion. He actually probably would have had $1 billion.
Yeah, yeah.
As opposed to $100 million, which is $100 million. So it's like, that's a different.
I agree with your last statement, though.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
Which this one? Was a very difficult
interview to
prepare for.
How do you prepare?
Because you know you have a limited amount of time.
How do you prepare for this? Yeah. How much? We have like 42 minutes, maybe.
And in that, we probably really only have like three
questions. Yeah.
Three minutes?
Yeah, exactly. This dude was like, he's not afraid to go in, you know, which is cool. I mean, that's his life, you know.
Yeah.
But like, his story about the Dominican Republic was fascinating. I thought it was funny. Just interesting. His wife obviously loves him a lot, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Either that.
I like his wife.
Either that or she can't go back to any other country, so.
Shout out to Janice.
Yeah, Janice is cool. She's cool from the beginning. I also thought that when preparing for this interview, I didn't know what to read. Because it's what the media says about him. It's what we research about him, what we read about him. But it's all op-ed or news media. It's not actually him doing the talking.
I'm very fascinated by John's life. Like,
dude, can I just tell you something? Like, you were like a maniac these last few months, like, leading up to this.
What do you mean?
I don't know. Like you became like almost a disciple of his for a second. Like, did you have to like, you know, like that movie where you have to get into the mind?
Heath Ledger in Dark Knight.
Exactly.
Now I'm gonna start talking like John exactly. on the show, and she's like, "You idiots!"
When you, if you see Josh, Jonathan brought his glasses into the studio today too. Like, he subtly made that transition.
I was like, "If he wears glasses, I'm gonna wear glasses."
Literally, his glasses on his computer right now.
No, I just brought them in because of it. Forgot to wear my head, but
yeah, I just thought that you were like kind of losing it for a second. Man. It's like you had to enter his mind, but there's no escape from that thing. I wouldn't want to go in there.
Well, I heard he's supposed to be having a movie made about him, so Johnny Depp is supposed to be playing him.
Oh, really?
That would be very interesting.
I'd go see it. We're friends now, remember? We have that support.
Yeah.
Apparently.
John, hey, let's meet you, Janice, Micah, Chanel, DeVicio, we'll all do like a triple date night.
I know.
Go see the opening.
We would have to like fly to an airfield in Iran, you know?
Yeah, wherever he's
under oppressive fire, and then like take a camel to like behind mountains of Tehran or something.
Seriously.
Yeah. Let's forget that.
Well, wherever his Wi-Fi signal is, it has to be somewhere like in the desert.
He was clearly in the same cave as Obama bin Laden when he was like doing this interview because his Wi-Fi was terrible.
So
you know, that's so bad. So he talked a lot. He was actually, I found him, although he was going off on stories, I think he actually, I've seen interviews with him in other shows. Mm-hmm. To me, he actually enjoyed this interview.
You know, I was thinking that too. Like, the interaction was very. So to your point, I've done obviously a lot of research on other interviews he's been on and stuff. And yeah, I completely agree with you. Like, even to Janice being on the show, like I've never seen that on anyone else's show. Like,
That's probably something that people don't know. They won't see. In the Zoom once we cut everything up. But like his wife, like sat in for like what 5 minutes, 10 minutes, something like that. And just chatted
us up. Telling the story to us and stuff. I know. And it's
kind of cool. The Dominican story where when they boarded the boat to find they were trying to find $70,000, $75,000,
yeah.
And he had put it on his body, right?
On his
on his body. Right? They both had it on their bodies. I think
in their bodies. Yes.
Yeah. And
interesting. How do you?
But they went on the boat, and so he said he had weapons on there, right?
Should have asked him, was it like 20s or?
Did he say they had weapons on there or did he say that they had weapons?
I don't remember that part.
But they boarded the boat and they didn't care about anything. They didn't matter what was on there. It could have been drugs, could have been guns, whatever. But they were just looking for that money.
Yeah.
And they couldn't find it. But they knew who was coming. And then he was just like, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. And then his wife like went off or something and almost caused an international incident. Then they got locked up and whatever. But one of them, like, is that the time when he faked a stroke or a heart attack?
No, something? That's different. I think when he was in Guatemala, he did an interview. His location got leaked. And then I think the Belizean government came and captured him.
Oh, really?
So to get out of that, faked it and then got extradited to the United States. I'm telling you, man, this dude's life is...
The only reason why he doesn't come back to the United States is because he owes taxes, right?
Oh, yeah. I don't think he's paid taxes in, like, 10 years or something. And
it's not like he hasn't done anything illegal in the United States. It's just that he hasn't paid his taxes, which I guess is illegal, but
well, depends
Who you ask.
Not to John.
Yeah, no, not to him, but whatever. It's all good.
Running for Prezi.
Yep. He is.
Talked a little bit about that.
We did. I couldn't even really.
Yeah. That was a little difficult. What was he trying to say? Like, if you don't do stuff, bro, you don't get paid. Is that what he was trying to say?
Dude.
Like, you control the money?
The day I understand exactly what he was trying to tell us in his interview is the day where I become, like, the John Whisperer. I don't know what he said half the time. And I was just looking. I was waiting to hear words that I could understand. And then he was telling us that our brains are a little too small to understand at times.
Maybe he's
like,
right.
Maybe he's just talking
like, in a frequency that we're just, like... We're not... Our brains don't operate at a high...
Oh, he was talking at a high frequency. That's for sure. That's for dang oh sure.
Oh, you know? Man.
But he's very... he claims to be very kind of esoteric, right? Like, very like, you know, there's a few of us that can only understand this rhythm of the earth and all this stuff and blah, blah. And no doubt, like, this dude is smart. Like I know he has a degree in mathematics and stuff
smart dude.
He couples like the hokiness with the smartness.
Yes.
And that's why it's hard to grasp on because so it's logical to him, but he blends his logic with the hokiness sometimes, which I think is, so to me is fascinating, but it's hard to follow sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know, but it made it for a fun interview. If you heard the interview,
it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was.
I am looking forward to
it. So it met your expectations, though.
Oh, it was literally everything I was scared to death about.
You hoped.
I was worried that the show would be exactly the way it was.
So we started the interview. So Jonathan and I are like testing the video camera, and we're just talking about random things. And I think for a brief second, you and I both forgot that it was like round two.
Because once they started calling in, his name popped on the screen.
The name just popped up.
Like, oh.
And the next thing you know, like it comes on, and he's in the black sweater with black glasses.
He's in the Matrix.
Exactly. And then,
oh, what was he trying to pretend like? He didn't have audio, but he was trying to talk.
Yeah.
He's like trying to play a prank on us.
Yeah, so he played the prank on us first. He tried to act like, like he didn't have any audio.
John was in a good mood, man.
He was.
I do want to know.
So maybe it wasn't us. Maybe it was something else. but I just think even the engagement and the interaction was, you know, because we were just asking him about him learning. It was like the last time I saw him be relaxed, like this level of relaxed during an interview. I mean, he'll probably tell you that he's always relaxed, but like was when he did Joe Rogan. And I'm not lying just to like have people subscribe.
Are
like,
you trying
I'm
just to put saying. Yourself on Joe Rogan's level?
Yes. He was on Joe Rogan. You heard my mask before.
Name dropping.
He was on Joe Rogan. He was on us. Therefore, we are Joe Rogan.
We are Joe Rogan. It's equal. It's right? Just math.
Exactly. And so I thought he was very, like he was just as relaxed with us as he was with Rogan. I thought it was cool. Maybe we'll get Joe Rogan. And maybe we can talk about our experience with John McAfee. That would be cool.
I don't think Joe Rogan wants to have McAfee back on the show, from what I've heard.
Because he's too wacky?
I think, and I could be wrong, but I think McAfee said something that offended him.
Really?
That's what McAfee said.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe. I don't know.
I tweet McAfee.
But I find it hard to believe, because Joe Rogan has a pretty good...
He's thick-skinned?
Yeah, like, I think so. Like, he's not, like, sensitive like that.
Hmm.
You know? And he's a comedian. Like, I don't know a sensitive comedian at all. You know? They all have, like... They laugh at the most inappropriate things, so, like...
Well, you know what's funny? Even Joe had a somewhat of a tough time roping him in.
Oh, yeah. Times, you know? Yeah, so I did watch that one. I did listen. I listened and watched.
So I don't feel too bad.
Yeah. Yeah, when Joe Rogan can't corral you...
Yeah.
I mean, and he's been on like Fox News, Fox Business News, and CNN, and he's been on all of them, MSNBC.
Yeah.
And like, other than, I did see him, you see the one where he was debating the FBI guy?
No.
Over iPhones being able to be hacked?
No.
And he was like, this guy's an idiot, you know? That was hilarious. But anyways, so our take on the John McAfee interview is that it was fun. It was wild. We don't know what you're going to get out of it, to be honest with you. But we had to do it because he's a businessman.
Oh,
we're businessmen. So, like, he's a businessman. Whether you're eccentric or whether you're straight-laced, like...
It just goes to show there's not one type of business person, like, you know.
To be successful. I mean, he saw flowers in the sky and pink unicorns in that computer, and he made it.
And, hey, you know, this dude's 74 years old.
Dude, 74.
Looks... great. Like, for the amount of energy, this dude's still probably doing drugs.
Skype picture.
Still taking alcohol, still being crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe he is, like, the Neo of real life. Like, he's figured something out.
Dude is like the Matrix.
He's figured something out.
Yeah. So the interview was like the Matrix in some ways. It was funny. But he was like, he did seem actually happy to talk about why he found the McAfee. I thought he would be resistant to that, but he actually...
Yeah, so that's funny you said that.
He actually seemed happy.
I felt the same way you did. I wondered if he was going to really want to go back there and be like, dude, that was so long ago. I don't know. You know what I mean? But
yeah,
he did. He went back.
I was like, can you remember that far
back? He's like, oh, senile.
Said in a senile voice. He's like, I'm not senile. But it was fun.
Yeah.
I'm glad he did go back, because he remembered everything, like the process, everything.
Boomers have really good imaginations. Mm-hmm. I mean, not imaginations, excuse me. They have really good memories. You ever notice that?
Yeah.
Like, when you talk to a boomer,
mm-hmm.
they'll tell you, like, oh, that was, like, 1994, Jim McMullen. And they're like, how do you remember all these names of, like, these random guys, like, random people? They'll remember, like, the minute details. Today, I feel like... our generation has the worst memories.
Is there somebody named McMullen that did something to you? Because you always say McMullen as...
No, I don't.
You do. Like, You have like a list of Irish names or something?
I just imagine him dealing with like some Irish mafia guys back in the 90s.
Like. Oh, I'm sure he was. Nah, he doesn't seem like he dealt with the mafia. Just, you know, I saw something where he said he sold drugs and did drugs, so I don't know. Right, well. Whatever. Don't know what else to say.
Yeah, hey man. It was a good show.
So, if you skipped over our interview with John McAfee, go back, listen to it, and then come listen to this recap. And then...
There's nobody skipping that show. No.
It's going to be interesting. We are going to boost the heck out of that on Facebook and on YouTube. We're going to put this... So not only will that interview be able to be shown on podcast, the podcast platforms, but if you want to see what we're talking about the glasses and the black shirt, go to YouTube and check it out. We have... go to the Common Sense Show YouTube channel and check it out. But yeah, that's it, man. I got to... Recapping this interview makes me want to go have a drink. I don't know how much it's going to cost us to have this. We're going to have to pay producer Paul.
Oh, to edit it? He's going to have his work cut out for him, man.
It's like a 40-hour job.
Oh, man. Shout out to Paul.
Yeah, I don't even know what to say about this, but I don't know. Anyways, that's our recap of the John McAfee interview. I kind of like recapping interviews. This is actually kind of cool. But probably won't do it again unless it's some big name like this.
Mm.
You know, that's a big enough name.
We'll see.
Got anything else to say?
No.
All right, we're out of here.
Live long and prosper, man.